In every gathering, you always look for those who are going to be the next preachers. I think we've seen one today. We know who the next soloist and singers are going to be. We've seen several of them today. And, you know, God has blessed me as the pastor of this church tremendously because I get to spend every single day with these children. And oh, how I love their hugs and their high fives. And then like Rebecca told me Friday as I was walking through the fellowship hall, "Pastor Don, you're on hot lava." And so I had to pretend that my feet were hot and jump all over the place, which is a sight for some of them. Well, if you're here this morning, if you'll take your Bible and be finding the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew provided for you. And 1 John chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 13, just this one verse this morning, as we talk about God's plan for the ages. And if you would rise as we honor our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the reading of just this one verse. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, in this world today, there are just so many, Lord, who are indifferent to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the love of God the Father. There are many today, Father, who think you're nothing more than a cosmic killjoy, that if they choose for you, they will not have a life at all. But, Father, we know that nothing could be further from the truth. But, Lord, there are so many who are just indifferent, just wandering through life, wondering why they're here on this planet we call Earth. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning as we speak that we have come with an ear to hear, that the Word might go down to our heart where it might do us the most good. And, Lord, that we would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, without a doubt, in every congregation there is someone here this morning who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray today that this would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we pray for those who have wandered away from the cross of Christ, from the love of God, that they would return, that they would come back again into a sweet fellowship with Jesus. Oh Lord, this world is growing darker all the time, and we know not how much longer we have before the Lord comes, before the church is raptured. And so, Lord, I pray that every single person will get ready, that they'll be ready, and that they'll stay ready for when Jesus comes. And it's in your name we pray today, and all of God's people said, Amen. In this one verse, God shares with us His plan for the ages. And whether you realize it or not, God had a plan for mankind when He created this world, but more importantly, God has a plan for you. And my hope for you is that you're not like just wandering through life with nary a clue. See, many people today, they have life, but all they're doing is adding years to life rather than adding life to their years. And do you know why it is? And the reason for it, friends, is because they've got no direction in life. They got no understanding about the very purpose of life. And sadly, that's just how most folks go through life. Just one day after another, just hoping to get by, hoping to make it to the next day. They're living for this temporary world. They've got no thought of eternity. And I want you to know this morning that's not God's desire for you or for me or for anybody. God had a purpose for creating life. And more importantly, God had a purpose for creating each one of us. And if the question were asked of you, what are people, the people who wander through life missing out on? Would you know how to answer that question? Or how about this question? Do you know why the Bible was written? Have you ever wondered if there really is a God? And if there really is a God, does he really care about me? A lot of people are turning to a lot of other things today in this world. They're turning to alcohol, they're turning to drugs, they're turning to pornography, they're turning to this, they're turning to that. And it's all in a sense, if you will, they're looking for somebody to really care about them. And they wonder, does God really care about me? Well, let's start with the question of why the Bible was written. Do you know why the Bible was written? The Bible was written so that you and I could know God. And we could know that God loved us so much, that God thought of us, that we're not here by mistake. We're not here by happenstance. God, who wrote the end from the beginning, he thought of you in time past. When God created the world, he knew the age you would be living. He knew who your mama would be. He knew who your daddy would be. He knew the very life you would live. God gave it to you. You say, well, why would God do that? Because God loved you. He thought of you. And he created you. And so the Bible was written so that you can know that God has a plan for you. And God needed a way in which he could reveal himself and his plan for you. And he chose to do it through this book we call the Bible. Oh, how I love the Bible. And God desires a relationship with you. God desires that you would get to know him as he knows you. And friend, he knows you inside out, and God wants you to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of his love for you. And that's why we have this book that God gave called the Bible. But more importantly, the Bible said here in our verse that the Bible was written so that you could know that you have eternal life. And oh, I want to tell you something. Just think about this for just a moment. If you had a 100-foot rope and you painted the first 3 inches red, that first 3 inches represents about 70 years, your lifespan. Average person lives about 70 years. But how much rope do you have left? And so many people are just living for 3 inches instead of thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. Now, you know as well as I do, in your physical body, this old tent we carry around, we're not going to live forever, are we? You don't know of anybody who's lived forever save one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives eternally. But friend, you and I, one day, we don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how. One day, we know this. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. But we don't know when. Could be, maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be next month. Maybe it'll be next year. All you know is that one day you're leaving this world. But there's something else we don't know. We don't know how we're leaving the world, do we? We just know one day we're going, but we don't know how we're going. The only thing we know is that one day we're going to leave this world. Well, then what? You're here now, but then you're gone. Then what? Then what? Have you ever given thought to what's behind death's door? Would encourage you to know that God has, and God has a plan for that. He gave his one and only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sin. You see, that cross is more than an emblem. It's a bridge. It's a bridge from hell to heaven, because all of us deserve hell. Something else the Bible teaches. One day you and I, we're going to stand before Almighty God. And we're going to know God is real. And when we stand before Almighty God, have you ever given thought to what you're going to say to God when you meet Him? Because one day soon you're going to meet Him. Hey, what would you do if God were to ask you this question? There you are before Almighty God. He looks you square in the eye and He says to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" How are you going to answer that? What are you going to say? Have you ever stopped to ponder it? To think about it. Another thing you need to know about the Bible, it has a lot to say about you, me, and sin. And the Bible has a lot to say about the ways a man tries to achieve heaven. You see, there is humanity's way. Now, there are five ways in which humanity tries to achieve heaven, and those five ways are religion, good works, morality, philosophy, self-righteousness. And yet all of those ways fall short of God's way, because the Bible teaches regarding humanity, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what? When you're looking up here this morning, you're looking at a sinner saved by grace. And when I'm looking out there this morning, I'm seeing sinners, and I know some have been saved by grace, and I hope all have been saved by grace. Friend, we deserve hell. We don't deserve heaven. I've earned hell, but God in grace has given me heaven. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm fairly certain at some point in your life you have watched the Olympics on television. And I'm certain you've observed at some point perhaps a race on a track. And you know those who compete in the Olympics are the best runners in the world. And these runners have spent years in training and just for the opportunity to represent their country in the Olympics. But you know what? Only one runner comes away with the gold medal. And every winner of the gold medal believes they could never have done it without the hard work and the training. And so using the Olympics as an example, I'm certain you'd agree we're all conditioned in life to believe that nothing in life is free. We must earn it. So it's only natural then when we think about spiritual things such as God and life and life after death that we just apply the same logic, don't we? We think if I'm going to live with God in eternity, then I will have to be the best person I can be in this life. So that when I stand before God, I can say, "Here, God, here's my gold medal of achievement." Because you see, many people believe if they have a gold medal of achievement to hand to God, that God must receive them into heaven. And that's why people try to earn heaven through good works, through religion, morality, philosophy, or the saddest thing of all, self-righteousness. You know what self-righteousness is. Perhaps this morning you've on this side looked at some over on that side, and perhaps some on this side looked at some on that side. You got puffed up a little bit. You said, "Well, I don't look like them. I must be all right. I know what they've done." You're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. You see, these are all the ways that seem right to a man, but working your way to heaven seems right to a man. And the Bible has something to say about that. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, why does the Bible say that? Because God has already told us that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And all man's ways do not deal with the most important issue in life, and that most important issue is my sin. How am I going to erase it? How am I going to cleanse it? How am I going to get rid of it? I mean, just stop and think about this, friend. Here you are today. You know you've sinned, but let's just say, for your benefit, you never sin again from this day forward. You are perfect. Now, I know that's hard for some of you to imagine, but let's just pretend. We're perfect. But what do we do about the things of our past? What do we do about the sins we've committed? How do we get them off of our record? And we can't. There is no amount of work that we can do. There is no amount of good. You know, some people live by the scales of justice. If I do more good than bad, certainly God has got to let me into heaven. All these ways seem right to a man, but they don't deal with the issue of sin. And so the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. Now you go to work and you expect to get a paycheck. You've worked for it. You've earned it. At the end of the week, you collect a paycheck. And God is simply letting us know that you live life. You work. You try to earn it. And you're going to get a paycheck. And that paycheck is going to be death. For the wages of sin is death. Do you know what death really is? See, so many are wandering through life believing that when you die, that's it. There's nothing more. You just die. You're just dead, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches there is a time when you did not exist, and the fact that you are here this morning or listening online means that you do exist. And there will never come a time when you will not exist. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, and life begins at conception, from that moment that you were conceived, you will be alive. Either in this world or the next world. You're going to be alive either in heaven or you're going to be alive in hell. God is simply letting us know that there is life after death, and there's only one or two places you're going to spend it. And if the wages of sin is death, then what does death mean since we still exist? It means eternal separation from God in a place that God calls hell. I know many people don't like to talk about hell. They don't like to hear a preacher preach about hell. But friend, Jesus spoke a lot about hell, and the reason Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven is because he doesn't want you going there. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell is a real place, just as heaven is a real place. And humanity, in particular, you and I are going to spend eternity in either heaven or we're going to spend eternity in hell. And God described hell for us in the Bible as a place of eternal torment and fire. Jesus said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell isn't going to be the party many in the world think it's going to be when they get down there. Hell is real. Do you know that Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven? And you say, preacher, why did he do that? He did that because he does not want you going to hell. You see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you. My friend, do you know what's going to happen to you if you refuse the cross of Jesus Christ? Now, God the Father gave his one and only begotten Son. And he gave his one and only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for you and for me, for all mankind, for any whosoever. But here's what's going to happen. One day, if you reject the cross of Christ, you reject the love of God the Father. God never send someone to hell. You walk yourself there. It'd be like turning around and looking at that cross and spitting in the face of Jesus and treading under your sinful feet the very love of God Himself, and you say, I will not hear it, I will not have it, I do not want it. And you know what you're doing? You're walking yourself to hell. We hear so often, well, God is going to send some people to hell. God has never sent anybody to hell. People walk themselves into hell because they reject the only means of salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't go to hell this morning. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a Savior. You're alive. You have the opportunity to choose. You don't have to go to hell because God loves you. And that cross, Charlotte said, our arms only go so wide. And I wish it could be like coal and my arms could reach around all of you. But I'm not Mr. Gadget Man. But friend, we simply cannot save ourselves. And so I find it very sad, heartbreaking. When I look out on a crowd like this one, or I'm preaching somewhere else, that there are so many people who believe they can't. And it makes you weep. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but God says of Himself, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And you say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. Do you realize that God saves any sinner? Doesn't matter what you've done. God takes you just the way you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, he doesn't look down and say, well, there's that old Randy Williams and he did that thing way back yonder. I ain't dying for him. No, he said, I love Randy Williams. I'm going to die for him. He can't save himself. He needs me. And I need him. And you need him. And you may be here this morning and not aware that you need him, but you need him. My dear friend, you can't earn God's grace. So there's God's way. I want to talk to you just for a moment about God's way. You see, when God created this world, He gave to every single person a free will. And you're free to choose and to use your will to choose to love God or not. That's your choice. God is not going to force Himself on anybody, nor will God leave anybody alone. That's why you're here in this church this morning, because God brought you here so you could hear this preacher preach a message, because God's not going to leave you alone. That's how much He loves you. You might have thought you came for your grandchildren or your child, and that you did, but God also brought you here this morning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't want you to die. You see that cross up there? Every time you see a cross, it's a reminder that God does not want you to die and go to hell. Why the Bible teaches, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing in us that God should love us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. What is a sinner? A sinner is an enemy of the cross. A sinner is an enemy of God. A sinner is a God rejecter. And that's where we were, and God saved us. Hallelujah, amen. Now I got to thinking about this. And I get to thinking about so many things. I mentioned earlier that the average life span for people is about 70 years. That's the average. Some of you are over and above that, like Brother Gordon. He's on up there.
But do you know that if you committed just 3 sins a day, that'd be over 1,000 sins a year. That'd be over 70,000 sins in your lifetime. And if you had to stand before a judge in a court of law with 70,000 sins on your record, do you think that judge would let you go free? You know he wouldn't. You would expect that judge to sentence you for every one of them. And so why should we expect less of God since he is the judge of all the earth? Are you aware the Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God, the judge of all the earth, is right 100% of the time. That means we're all guilty before God. There isn't a spotless one in here this morning. We're all in the same boat. Say amen. There isn't one of us who's better than anybody else. Say amen. We all the same. Sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible puts it this way, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And friends, the Bible teaches that God will by no means clear the guilty. No one's ever going to reach heaven based on performance. You're not going to get to heaven and be able to point to a good work. You're not even going to be able to get to heaven and say, I look good, I deserve to be in. Not happening. If you make it to heaven, it's because you have received the free pardon that Jesus Christ gives. That's what it means to come and give your heart to Jesus. You see, that cross is a reminder not only that God loves you, and he loves you enough to confront you. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is this. If you reject God, you're on your way to hell. And nobody's sending you there. You have chosen to go there. The only one you're going to have to blame is you, if you wind up in that place. Because you don't have to. Because that cross is a reminder that someone has paid the price for your sin. That cross is a reminder that there is a God in heaven who loves you unconditionally. And in our finite minds, we've got no idea what that means. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm sure glad it's that way. Because if God loved us conditionally, every time we'd sin, we have to wonder if God still loves us. Let me tell you this in closing. Once you come to Jesus, you can never earn any more of his love, nor can you lose any of his love. He loves you unconditionally. Hallelujah. Well, you've got a free will. What are you going to choose? There's a Savior who's waiting. There's a Savior who loves you. There's a Savior who wants to receive you today. And so if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day. And if the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart, get up and answer the door. Don't leave here today without answering the door because, friend, you don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Today is the day of salvation, and that's what the Bible says. Receive it today. And if you've gotten away from God, understand this. You're not too far gone because God loves you unconditionally. You can always return. You just confess your sin and say, God, forgive me. I wandered away. But, oh, Lord, I'm coming home. My friend, as we sing our invitational song this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Jesus, I come. That's really the question you're going to answer in your heart this morning. Are you coming to Jesus today? Or are you going to walk away? I hope you'll come to Jesus today. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. Oh, God, you don't want any of us in that place called hell. It was never created for us. And oh, Lord, in every crowd there's someone who's headed there, and they don't have to go there because you love them. And Lord, there's not a single person here today who's here by mistake. You thought of them. You created their life. You gave it to them. And Lord, you just desire them to give you their life that they might have life abundant. Instead of just adding years to life, they're adding life to years. Oh God, I pray today as we stand and sing that people would respond, that people would come to Christ today. In your name I pray. Amen.